wonderful love. Oh, that all men would praise him and his name adore. Hallelujah
forevermore.
Oh, glory and honor to the Lord above, who saved us and filled us with his wonderful love. Oh, that all men would praise him and his name adore. Hallelujah forevermore. Oh, glory and honor to the Lord above, who saved us and filled us with his wonderful love. Oh, that all men would praise him and his name adore. Hallelujah forevermore. Lord above, he saved us and filled us with his wonderful love. Oh, that all men would praise him and his name adore. Hallelujah forevermore.
Yes,
glory and honor to the Lord above. He saved us and filled us with his wonderful love. Oh, that all men.
Oh, that all men
And
sum is always greater than the parts. You know, when I think about that many times, I think about building a motorcycle or building a sidecar or something like that, and you think of when you add up the cost of all the parts, if you were to go buy all those parts, how you couldn't afford it. But when you bring all those parts together and they become something, and it's like, you know, you lay a wheel here and a chain there and a sprocket here, and they're nothing, but you bring all these parts together, and that's what we have. And some parts, you know, I've thought about this many times. You know, we all wonder where we fit in church. You know, what are we? You know, what's our gift? I think everybody wonders that from time to time. I think I wonder it all the time. You know, you see, they got the five gifts of the ministry, and, you know, when you sit there and you look at the five gifts, and you know, not a prophet, not a evangelist, not a pastor, not a teacher. What am I? And, I think in terms of sports sometimes, and I think, you know, you've got your offense and you've got your defense that are on the field pretty much the entire game. Quarterback, fullback, lineman, they get all the glory. But you may have a guy that sits on the bench, he's part of special teams. He never comes in. It may be a kickoff return, might be a punt return. It might be some special position that he has he sat there the whole, he's not warmed up. He hasn't been on the field with everybody else. He probably doesn't even feel like he's part of the team a lot of the times. Your kickers, they don't have to work out with the team half the time. But when you look at that, and then all of a sudden, when you need that man, that's your man. When it comes down, you're 2 points behind, and you got a 3-point field goal looking down the pipe, all of a sudden, that's the most important player on the team. And I think a lot of times we it may be that your whole life, maybe my whole life, comes down to one special team, one special play, that I was there. And you can't be there. You can't make that play if you're not there. You know, there's an argument. I used to do a lot of pistol shooting, and there's an argument out there. What's the best caliber for self-defense? What's the best gun for self-defense? And everybody, it's got to be a .45 ACP. The bigger, the better. Oh, it's got to be a 9mm. You have more capacity in your magazine. You know what the best gun for self-defense is? It's the one you've got. It's the one that you have. If you have to say, hold on, I got to go home, it's no good. If it's a .25, it's just a .22. It might be the smallest caliber there is, but that's the most important gun right then. And I think that, many times I think at how we, and myself, I'm the worst at about tearing yourself down. You know, I'm not this, I'm not that. And we all matter. Everybody in here matters. I know, and I look out here, and when somebody's not here, you may think that you don't make a difference. I think it myself. But when you look out there, and when they are here, they make a difference. I mean, I looked out there tonight. I saw Steve Wallace. He makes a difference. He may not think he makes a difference, but he makes a difference. I look out there, I see Tara. She makes a difference just by being here. Not even including what she might say or do to somebody while she's here. She makes a difference just being here. Brother Phil, you make a difference just being here. I mean, just, you know, it would be easy for us to sit there and say, you know, sure, you know, Brother Nathan, he makes a difference. Sure, Brother Phil makes a difference. He gets to sit in the chair. Sure, the piano players make a difference. I'm sure. I've never played the piano. I have never sat in that chair. Neither do I want to ever sit in that chair. But I know that if I did, I would still wonder, am I making a difference? But we are. And if you're making a difference wherever you're making a difference wherever you're at. And I'm thankful for this people. Sometimes I wonder. You know, I sit there and look at you know, the situations in the body, and, you know, we have dry services or whatever the case might be, and I wonder, you know, is this really it? Is this really it? I wonder that all the time. But my mom said something years ago when I was in the Mully Grubs and I was having those same thoughts. And she goes, did you believe that this was it when we were at the height, when Brother Tucker was, we had 200 people here and this and that? And I said, well, sure I did. She goes, has anything changed? Has God showed you that there's something else out there? And no, he has not. I think about that. You know, my job is in a, you know, state, seems like it stays in a state of turmoil. You know, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God gave me that job. But I don't see it sometimes. Why? Why can I succeed in every part of my life except for, you know, you don't get respect from the people you work with? But I know that if God put me in that position, and, you know, Brother Phil and I have talked about this before, you know, you talk about, well, should I, you know, go to a headhunter? Should I put my name out there through an employment agency? Should I put the word out that I'm looking? I've come that close to doing that countless times. But it always comes back to, if God put me in this good job, and he's not opening up a door, I'm just engaging in scrambling behavior. I'm just going to, you know, look, and then to a potential employer, it's going to come across like that. And I think about that when I'm thinking, you know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is just sit still and wait for God and to open up a door. And when you least expect it, the door will open. It has for me time and time and time again. You know, during some of the lowest points of my life, and, you know, I've told my kids for years, I remember one night that I'd had a great day, just a fantastic day, just one of those days where everything lines up. We get home that night, 9:30 that night, get a phone call, Joanne's dad just died. So we went from having this great day to at 9:30 trying to scramble, find a flight, you know, put Joanne on a flight to North Carolina, and then we have to drive out, and all of a sudden, everything changed with a phone call. It can change in a microsecond. I was having a great day riding through the woods back in November. Next thing you know, I'm going over the handlebars, and a $40,000 helicopter ride later, you know, I'm laying in the hospital and fighting for my life in Hot Springs. Who'd have thought? Or I could have been having the worst day of my life, and that it could have just, a microsecond could have happened, and all of a sudden, wow, I see God's plan. So I don't know why I'm saying all that, but it just, these things come back to me when, you know, you hit low spots in your life and you realize that we do have a purpose here. We have a reason. And sometimes I don't see it, but if I'll hang on, I know that God will show it to me and it'll make it evident. And one thing I did want to mention tonight, I think it's I mentioned it earlier in a previous service, but, you know, we've got two new graduates here. And that's a huge accomplishment. I don't think that I've ever had a college graduate in my family that I know of, period. Well, Brian Thompson, that's true. But in my immediate, if going back, you know, to my, and now we've got two. We've got Alex, who's got her associate's degree, which I'm incredibly thankful for. And now we've got somebody with a master's degree. A master's degree. And she can't sit there without smiling when I say it. But, you know, it's hard not to be proud. I want to be proud. You know, that's something I haven't overcome yet, and I'm just going to have to deal with it. But I'm thankful. I am thankful that people, you know, I didn't ever have it in me. If I had looked at 2 years of study, let alone 4 and 6 years of study, forget it. I'm not doing that. But now I regret it. I sure enough regret it. I do. You know, I interviewed for a job here a few years ago, and they asked me what my biggest regret was, and I said, not getting the degree. I should have done it. If nothing else, to make myself knuckle down and follow something through to a finish instead of just being a pure sanguine and, you know, everything that happens, oh, I'm going to go do this. Hey, I'm going to go do that. But now I'm rambling, but I am thankful. I do want God to know that I am thankful. I don't want to be, you know, I think, you know, so many times about the lepers, you know, the lepers that he healed, that were healed, and only, what was it, one that came back. And, you know, I don't know if you know much about leprosy. That is a horrible, horrible disease. I can't even imagine how bad it was. But, and then to be healed from that, and then just forget God. I can't imagine. But I want to be thankful. I want to stand and give thanks tonight, and that I am here, and that I plan on going on. I plan on going on. I don't know what that means sometimes, what it actually means. But if I did know, I'd be afraid to say it. But I am thankful, and I do plan on going on.
Into my mind what he's done for me, and, you know, nobody else but me, and am I thankful enough? And I thought, Lord, I am, and I'm sorry that I don't, you know, bring him to mind, because I got a lot of senior moments here lately that I forget who I'm at, where I'm at half the time anyway. But I mean he reminds me, you know. It's like so cool. And I was going to ask, they're not here, nobody's here, that I need to address this about my family, because so y'all will know how to pray. My cousin Olivia, they have, you know, the last time she was here, I don't know if y'all remember that last time, she wanted me and Don and Bonnie to go with her to talk. She was crying and saying God was really dealing with her, and she knew where home was. She knew she had to be here, but right now she's dealing with a husband that, and in their family, you know, there's a lot of you guys know that there's some mental illness, and she feels like he's hitting that spot where he's thinking all kinds of bad things about our church and saying that we're a cult. And that does not like, he sounds like him, because he was in the past, he would, you know, want her to come to church and all that. But now he's keeping her, and she, you know, she's not losing hope, but she doesn't know what to do. And they had a fire in the lightning struck their house last week, and she, you know, texts me this long text about, she knows that God had his hand on them. She goes, I know. She goes, just because I'm not in church, she goes, I haven't stopped praying and worshiping my own little closet. He goes, but I have to be careful, and you know, I can't do it publicly in front of Randy. So I want y'all, you know, she asked for prayer, and something's got to give. I don't know how God is working in this, but she knows. She said she doesn't want to. She gave me permission to say a little about it, but, you know, she don't want to talk to just everybody about it, and so don't bring it up to her. But she wants to know that God is aware. And I said, yes, he is aware. He knows what's going on, and he has a plan, and in his time, you know, who knows, he might heal him, heal his mind, and bring him in, and want to get back. Because at one time he was here, he was a very, you know, hard worker and serving God and all that. So I kind of went off track of what I was being going through and stuff, but I reminded her of the other times that God thinks that he has healed them or brought them through, and got, you know, maybe he's trying to, you know, allow things to happen to have her not to forget, you know, just keep praying. Because she said he's bringing me closer and closer to him. He goes, and I don't want to get in the mully grubs and start feeling sorry for myself and this and that, because I know, she goes, I know where I belong. I know without a shadow of a doubt that that's where I don't want to go to any other church because it's like, you know, because I don't get fed. And I goes, my soul needs to be fed right now. And so she goes, so please, she goes, pray and pray that God will move. And I don't care what we have to go through, whatever we have to go through. He goes, just let him know that I'm willing to go through whatever. And I said, okay. But she's been, you know, praying like that too. But she also is reaching out, you know, she wants me to be her voice, in other words. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. And also, a lot of changes have been going in my home. And it's good, not bad. And, you know, God is really dealing with Stan. And so, you know, it comes to my mind, okay, God, you're dealing with these people, so why don't they see it? You know, I mean, or they do see it, but they don't want to acknowledge or don't want to give up because, as you all know, he's been involved in like 6 different branches of Masons. There's a lot of different branches. And I'm not saying they're bad people. They're not, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have made it when he had cancer the first time. They paid for our mortgage for 6 months. They brought us food. They paid our bills. We didn't even have to tell them, you know. And they've always been there for us. And anyway, but he got out of 2 organizations already, and then another one. He's Secretary of his Lodge. Well, now he's getting very discouraged with what's going on. He says, politics. He goes, I'm in there to help people to have fun. He goes, but now he's at the last place where, you know, he finally said, he goes, it ain't going to be long. He goes, I'm going to be out of that lodge, you know. And that's something big for him. And I know, and then the way he's talking about different things that I said, I told him, asked him about, you know, kind of like permission. He goes, well, it's okay with me, but you need to talk to your pastor. And I'm like, wow, that's not like him to say that, you know. So I know I see God working in there. And so please keep him in your prayers about, you know, he knows he belongs here, and I know he does, but I don't want to be the one to say, well, you need to come. You know, he knows. I want God to be the one to bring him in, because if God brings him in, he's not going to leave. Just like when he brought me back in, you know, I'm still here. I'm not saying that I haven't thought about back, you know, 5 years ago or so about leaving, but God wouldn't let me. And he's like Brother Daniels had mentioned before, you know, he's got me in handcuffs, or, you know, that good kind of chains bounded here. And that's the way I tell some people that call me and talk to me about different things. And I just tell them, I said, don't get in that kind of mindset. Talk about the bad things that happened. God didn't do those things to you. You come on to church. I said, that's what Brother Tucker used to tell me. You know, don't worry about what people say or what they do, or because it's going to be like that in every church. There's not a church that there is not going to happen. Things are going to happen. So you might as well stay where God brought you here, where God brought you to, and let God take control. He's the one that's in control of everybody's life, and he's going to be the one to put whoever's in charge and this and that, you know. And he said, when people don't want to come, it's use people blaming that certain people's hurt them or this and that. They're just using that as an excuse. You know, he used to tell me that. So I used to always be careful not to say, well, you know, blah, blah, certain body, you know, hurt my feelings or did this, you know, because I was at one time. I know, I understand where a lot of these folks come from, because I was there. And I, you know, Brother Daniels, I know you've seen me in the back row a lot of times, you know, just sitting there, and, oh, she hurt my feelings, and I'm not going to go up there. God didn't do that. I mean, why did I not praise God anyway? Oh, my goodness, I feel so ashamed and so, you know, this little for acting like that, so immature. And so I know that God has showed me a lot, and I know that I've got a long ways to go. I'm not saying I'm there yet, no way. But I hold true to the fact that I've always said, whatever it takes, and, you know, whatever it takes, I'm going to still serve you, Lord, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter, health, anything. And I had another thing that happened to me as far as health-wise. And you know what? I was telling Sister Anne McGowan that my nephew, his mother is a nurse, and she told him, she goes, Michael, I know you're hurting on that leg, but quit limping. He goes, you're babying the pain. Just walk straight. You're going to hurt. Limping, you're going to hurt straight. And I said, wow, that's words of wisdom. So I started doing it. I go, yeah, that's right. I can limp and I hurt, but I can walk straight and still hurt. So why not walk straight, you know? So I thought, oh, my goodness. No wonder I'm having more problems with this leg because I'm putting all the weight on this leg, you know. But I thought, I learned something new. Anyways, again, like Brett saying, he was rambling. Seems like I'm rambling. I know I am. But I know that a lot of the stuff that he said, at the time I remember, you know, that I was thinking those things, but now I can't remember everything. And I don't think I'm getting dementia, you know, I don't think, but I 2 weeks ago I was telling Chelsea that I was driving and I kept on driving. I have no idea where I was or what I was doing. I knew who I was, but I didn't know where I was. And I said, Lord, help me. Where am I going? Where am I at? And so I just pulled in this parking lot, and at the time I didn't know what parking lot it was or nothing. I don't know if anybody's ever gone through that, but it's scary. So I just sat there and I said, Lord, where am I? Where am I going? And I looked around, and next thing you know, it just came clear where I was. I go, okay. So I got back on the road and I went to where I was going. And I thought, I wonder if that's first signs of, you know, Alzheimer's. But Stan goes, no, it's stress. You're under a lot of stress, a lot of things, worrying about this and that your mind can't take it. And, you know, anyway, back to I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. Thankful that, you know, I am able to hurt, because if I wasn't hurting, I'd be dead. So I'd rather hurt than to be dead. So, and I'm thankful for everyone that's here tonight that we're all, you know, battling the same demons or whatever you want to call them. We're all, you know, for the same purpose, because we know God has a plan for our lives, and so we want to honor him. And he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy no matter whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm going through, whatever storm I'm dealing with. I don't care. He's worthy. He's my Lord. He's the one that's been there for me, and I'm not discouraged. I'm not. I'm just so overwhelmed with how much God loves me, and I'm thankful, thankful.
Sister. Everybody knows. You kind of inspired me and remind me that. Hook me up here.
Yes, sir.
Turn me up. My voice is weak. And not, it's more than my voice too. I'm feeling kind of weak. It's just once in a while I can't believe how old I am right now. I just can't believe it. I said, what happened to those years? I can't remember them. It just goes away. But I'll tell you what, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm here. And I do get discouraged once in a while. You're just going to get that way. Things don't go your way. You get sick, or things happen that discourage you. It's going to happen. I've been in this body all my life. And it started back when I started going to church at the one my daddy built. And the woman that hired Dad to build the house was connected with the church in St. Louis. Brother, help me. He was a bald-headed head. Man had the biggest church in the body in St. Louis. Come on. Anybody here remember the name? You're not old enough. It's in my mind, but I can't pull it out. And he failed. You know, he was a great man. Just he had the biggest church. He had the biggest meetings, and discussions were just, boy, terrible. But come out shouting. I'm telling you, they had a time. And all the time, all the ministers I know, I don't know how many men, just ministers, good ministers, have failed, left the body, dragged some people with them. And it hurts. It hurts us to find out somebody that we admired and honored, and they make a little mistake. And I don't mean a little mistake, because it makes a big difference. But I want to tell you something. This is not a cult. This is not a cult. This is a free running church. It's not an organization. It's a big group of people that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and discovering more truth as we go. Our ministers are continually studying and studying together to try to come together to agree. And the more they become to agree, and it takes a long time, years sometimes, for us all to get to agree on one thing. I think the first thing they agreed on was God's number. How many is in the Godhead? I'm not going to tell you. You should know. It was one of the first things that they settled on. And it became so unique, people began to change. It was so reasonable. It was just so reasonable. But there were so many people saying, no, one. There are Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost. We're just one person. It don't say that, does it? How can Jesus and God be one person when God created him? It don't make sense to say he's one. He's still one person. Oh, what's the Holy Ghost? Nobody's seen him yet. You know, you can make a man out of nothing, and you can make nothing out of a man. And this body is just going through all that, and it's just little by little, those that have stayed here and have seen how the doctrines we're teaching is more clear, more steady. And the people that have problems and leave because they got hurt. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, church and the God's people, wherever, all had problems. Everybody has problems, so what? What? Do you have problems? I wonder if you'll admit it. Somebody may know it and you don't. But I'll tell you what, we're all in need of help for the Lord. Just admit it. I'd like to have a stronger relation with God. I'd like to feel His Spirit more often and stronger. I want to be convinced that God has showed me it's Him real. And he's guiding us. The ministers we have are just wonderful. But if one of these ministers, a top minister, Brother T.J., was a big minister in this body, great man, but he had a problem, and somebody found it out, and the word went around, and it just tore everything up. But I'm still here, and I'm not the only one that stayed on. If you get a connection and you get a vision, and you know and understand this body, it's got problems. That's why they go to the meetings and try to work out the differences. Try to prove what's the right way. And I love that part of our body, to know that they're still not saying we got it all. And I don't think, I know some of them, and I don't think we'll get it all before we die. But when we resurrect, we can get it. We'll get to get it. Thank God! I like this story. I wish they'd make a good movie and tell the truth about it in it. David, he's my buddy. I love that story, and how a young boy just leading his sheep and killing the lions. The guy was skilled, wasn't he, with that rock and that throw, whatever he called it. We call it a slingshot. And he was so good at it, I mean, he didn't just draw back a rubber band and let it go, but he had a little pocket, I guess a leather, he cut out and tied it so he could sling that thing. And all he had to do is let go of that finger like that, and it'd turn it loose. And he was so practiced and good with it, he could... Wow! I don't know how far it was, but there was a giant standing up a little on the hill above him, and he was aiming for the forehead because he was covered with armor. And he hit him right in the forehead, and that guy just didn't holler. He went just down on the ground and gone. And I bet they were, all them other people that were scared to death and thinking they're winning, they turned around running. David, just a little kid. I don't know how old he was at that time. I don't think he'd be out of his teens. Just a sheep boy. He'd been throwing that thing for years. He could hit anything if he wanted to, and he sure did. God knows what he's doing. He knows which. He was picked out of a good family, a real good family for God, and them men, how many were there? About eight of them. Comes to the last one, and the youngest one, little old David. Now, they were coming up to go to war, and David found out about it when he must have passed by his family or something and found out that his brothers were all out there lined up for war, and found out that nobody would come up against him. He said, well, I'd like to go see that. Little David, with his sling, walked out there, found out what they're all doing. Couldn't find nobody to stand up that giant. Oh, he said, God will go with me and I'll take care of that. I can see you walking around. And his brother said, oh, David, get out of the way. you know, you can't do nothing. And all the other ones looked at him, just walking little boy out there. I imagine he was picking up some rocks and picking up some good smooth rocks. He got out there and said, oh, get out of here, get out of here. You're going to get hurt. Yeah. He said, in the name of the Lord. Woo! Woo! Boom. Silence for a while. Praise God! Some did. Some said, I'm going away! Get out of here. This guy's bad. Oh, I'll tell you, the Bible's got so many good stories. And there's been so many good people that made one little mistake and got exaggerated and spread the word, made the story and exaggerated that. And oh my goodness, him, her, they wouldn't do that, huh? Shame on them. I don't know why somebody would fool around like that, make a mess of everybody. Young people that don't understand get hurt. You can get embarrassed because somebody found out something you did wrong. Spread the word, and you'll get yourself hurt. You know, we ought to have a heart of love for one another, no matter what. We're not to hate anybody. We're not supposed to follow everybody. But if you're going with this people, there's some of us that aren't so good. But we're not to stand up and judge them, because you don't know what good they do have and what they don't have. I guess there's a little good and a little bad in all of us. I would admit it. I'll guarantee you I got some bad in me. I don't like it either. And there's some good in me. Thank the Lord, the Holy Ghost reminds me that I'm glad God loved me enough to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stay here where I found it. I've been through some problems. I had my dad go through a big problem. Really hurt him and stirred up our whole family. Got shook because of that man I told you about, this body, the leader of it. But you know, look at the Jews back there in the Bible. Didn't they have a lot of problems? They had a lot of problems. And God has always put up with the problems. But look what's happened. How many people have been lost, killed, saved? That's what I like. Look at the fella on the cross. All them people killing Jesus. All of them so mad. And there were just a few there praying, and he still died. But it was just three nights, wasn't it? And here come the story. He's still alive. No, oh, where'd you see him? Nobody believed it, but those that saw him. But they ran to find him, didn't they? But they didn't get to find him, but those that were with him. What a story. I'm telling you, this Bible is something Everybody ought to read. Everybody ought to read it for yourself. And find somebody that knows it a whole lot better than you. And when you don't understand it, you need to talk to somebody that does. Get yourself finding what's good in this world. What hope do we have out of all this old big bad world? We've got the greatest hope that you could ever have of eternal life without sin. Woo! You think we can make it? Well, hold on. Don't let nothing shut you out. Them little things that amount to nothing. It don't amount to nothing just because somebody misunderstood you, said something wrong against you, or maybe they told the truth about you and you can't stand it. God's good. And you're going to have to endure some hard things through your life, young people. I'm telling you, you may be having a problem right now. I guess everybody in here has problems. I'm tired of them. But I wish I could fix them all. I've got a hope. I've got a hope. I got something worth living for. I got a hope for what? Come on, help me. Eternal life. My goodness. Just because some people make mistakes, don't kill them, but talk. Don't kill their reputation. Save them. Forgive them before he even asks. We're not to blame, but why kill their reputation? Because you might find down the road it wasn't the truth anyway. And the poor guy suffered, or they suffered, or he or she or whatever suffers the difference. God knows, who knows. And I want to stay with the people I know is striving to get the truth. Our ministers are striving to come to build the truth, what they've got, and bring it all into one. And they're doing so good. Brother Smith let us know by telling us what's going there somewhat. But still some people will hold on to something and they get so stuck on it. It might have been them that found that idea, and they're not going to change on it. But you know what? We got to keep an open mind. Could be our pastor is one of the leaders in this body. And he'll admit that he don't know it all. And all our leading ministers will say, no, we don't have it all because we haven't got everybody to agree yet. And we'll never have it in our life, probably. But when we resurrect, we'll be coming up in a different place, and we'll get the truth. My God. Eternal life. Think about it. Hold on, people. Don't be shaken by people's problems. You got problems. We all got problems. And we're going to live problems till God fixes it, all of us. Let's hold on. Let's not worry about it, but pray about it. Stop worrying and start praying. It's worth it all. And read your Bible, and you'll find some good scriptures that'll back you up. Yeah, all things work together for the good. Hey, who's got that? All things work together for the good for who? Come on. Who? Them that love the Lord. Are you mad? God didn't help me. He didn't heal me. Look what I got. I got this hard neck working, just killing me. You know, not killing me, but it sure just knocks me out sometimes that I just can't stand up any longer. I got to lay my head down. Thank the Lord I'm still here. And, you know, all the things that work together for the good, thank you, Lord, for this pain. Really? We ought to do that. If you know that you've prayed and asked for help, asked for him to heal you, you haven't got it, say, well, Lord, if you want me to carry this, I'll thank you for it. And if it humbles me, thank you, Lord. It makes me feel a little bit like God's working on me. And I accept it. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and them that are called. Them that are called. Are you called? I'll guarantee you if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're called. Thank the Lord for that. Even though you're suffering, think and consider maybe that pain and suffering is what's good for us. To humble us. It causes us to look up and say, Lord, will you help me with this problem? Lord, I'd like to be able to do more, but I don't have this ability or I don't can't do it. I'm just here doing the best I can. Well, thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Come on, help me. Thank the Lord for what you've done for us and what you're doing for us and what you're going to do and what we're going to be. Thank you, Lord. God bless every one of you.
About the good things God has done. Think about the victories God has won. Don't think about the times you were down and out. Think about how God brought you out. Think about the sweet, sweet Spirit of God way down in your soul.
God has done. Think about Standing, it'll only be 45-50 minutes. I've got worked up here. Just think it's been a really great service. Really appreciated the spirit at the very beginning. The spirit of worship, the spirit of praise. Stuart really appreciated the line of those songs very much. So there's sad times, hard times, depressing times, but we have a God who cares. And when we lift Him up and praise His name and realize that we are so blessed. You know, it reminded me of the other day I was actually talking to Elisha about, you know, kids. And I can remember being that way, that that word, that horrible, horrible word that they say so much, I'm bored, okay? You know, and I'm thinking, you know what? You know, when you get to a certain age, you're bored. It's like, please, let me be bored. Let me just sit down and stare at the wall. I'm happy. You know, let my brain rest for a moment. And I was telling him, I said, you know what, Elisha, I'm sorry. I would rather have, I'm happier in the most uneventful day with my family than the best day at work. Because I'm not at work, hey. And I was thinking about that, you know, some things Brother Brett Weiger was relaying, reminding me of David in Psalm 84 when he says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Is that not it right there? If I'll just trust in Him, if I'll continue to worship Him in those sad times, hard times, just lift Him up. Just continue on and keep saying, I must go on. I know it's hard, but I must go on. I must press forward toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I feel like we've had church tonight. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be together here. Let's remember, Brother and Sister Smith, they had some mystery takeout. I don't know what it was, but it really got them bad. And Brother Smith said they probably have a little touch of the food poisoning. So I'm really curious about what they did have for takeout, because I'm not going to go there. So, but let's pray for them. Let's lift them up in prayer. We all, if you've been there, done that. I have. I was in the hospital 2 weeks when my parents tried to poison me, but that was a long story a long time ago. Yes, Mr. Fisher? Let's remember those requests of some of our more mature saints. You know, Brother Sister Crow, definitely pillars in this assembly. My grandfather and Brother Crow having fallen and just not even feeling to get out of bed. Let's really remember them right now. And then my grandpa reaching out for prayer. When he does ask, I mean, that's truly, you know, okay, he means it. Something's wrong. So let's remember them. Sister. Okay, let's remember Sister Donna and her and her special unspoken. Brother Painter? Okay. Brother Sister Crafton out of town. Sister Abraham? Okay, let's remember Sister Abraham. Going to an orthopedic, and also her family, standing request there. Any other, Sister Cindy? Awesome, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Just remember Sister Cindy's mother, Sister Elder, but the positive report, that's wonderful. That's a blessing from the Lord. There's another one. Let's put it in our book. Let's remember them.
Anyone else?
Sister Inez, is she lying down right now? In there, okay, that's why I thought she probably was. And Brother Boyce, Brother Ethan? Brother Ethan's not feeling well tonight. I'm supposed to Sherry's with him. All right, let's remember that request, and also that request that she had mentioned earlier in her testimony about Sister Olivia Kitchens. Just remember that family. They did just have this tragedy with their home, and those that we mentioned here tonight. You know, Brother Weiger was talking about Brother Brett Weiger about the calling or what our place. You know, there's been times I know that I've been down, or I remember Elisha was sick and got a card from Brother Daniels over here. And I remember giving that card to Elisha. You'd have thought it had $1 million in it, because he was like, I mean, it was just a card. It was a card. It wasn't $1 million. I'm still waiting for that one, Brother Daniels. But he just talked about it the entire day. Brother Daniel sent me that card. Wasn't that really neat? That was just so nice. And he just read it over and over. So it really means something, those little personal touches. And we can show our love to those that can't be here. So this week, if it's on your heart, if you think about it, you know, give a call, send a card, send a text. I mean, we only have 4,000 ways to communicate today. So we can figure one of them out. We can tweet somebody, hey, thinking about you. So if there's no other request here tonight, let's have food downstairs, correct, for the youth. For the youth will be serving once again. Wonderful chicken fingers. It's my food of choice, with some great cheddar on the fries. So let's go down and have some great fellowship. And let's be prepared for a wonderful day tomorrow to lift up the name of the Lord. Yes. Feel his wonderful spirit. Hopefully Brother Smith will be here and give us some wonderful things out of the Word of God. So let's go ahead and take these knees before the Lord. Dear God, we appreciate you. We thank you so much, Lord. Oh God, for your spirit. Allowing us to be here, Lord, to hear these words, to feel your spirit, Lord, to be closer to you. God, there's so many needs we have, Lord, but you're the great physician, Lord. We have the faith in you to know you'll take us through, Lord. Oh God, help us each and every day. I must go on, Lord, and I know you have the strength to give to me. Dear Jesus, touch each and every one. Lord, touch Brother Crow. Help him, Lord, in his time of need. And Sister Crow, give her strength, Lord. Oh God, the kitchen family, Lord, in this situation that they are having right now, God. Oh God, touch their hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get our love over to them, dear Jesus. Touch Brother and Sister Smith, Lord, in this food poisoning, God. Comfort them through the night, Lord. Help them to get some rest, to be here tomorrow with us, dear Jesus. We love you and appreciate you in all these requests, Lord, Sister Abraham's request, many standing needs. We love you, Lord. We bring them to you, dear Jesus, as the little widow woman, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, wonderful name. Bless your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shake hands and be friendly.